Welcome to Words of Light for Today, a teaching ministry that shares godly principles while giving spiritual insight and divine revelation from the Word of God for the everydayness life brings. Be richly blessed as we join Linda Atkins.
We're going to be thoroughly furnished for a few days into 2018 with what we've learned in the last month, or what we should have learned on faith, about faith, how it works, how the operational pattern of faith, what it does for us, what it gives to us. And so I'm glad of that, aren't you? Because with every new study that I have done over the years, every time I've gone back to study something that I thought I knew, I learned something else. Amen. And I have, over the years, used my faith in ways that the Lord has instructed me, and it was beneficial. Because everything He tells you, everything He reveals to you, has a benefit to your serving Him. And when you do that, and you take what He gives you and you begin to use it, you see the operational patterns that it has. If you do this, it does that. If you do this, then this happens, and then this happens. So I'm glad of what we've learned and what we have heard and seen in the Scripture concerning faith, because even with this study, there's so much more to know. So I'm sure that He'll send us right back to this at some point in time. But we're going to be fasting this year and giving our understanding and time to the Lord. And so I'm sure that through these fasts that we'll be doing, He will show us things and show us how to accomplish things, because things are going to have to be accomplished. You've got things in business, things on your job, things at home, things that you want to see done. And in order to have that, in order to please God with all of it, you're going to have faith in doing it. Now, are there things that people can accomplish without faith? Yes, but they'll crumble. At the end, they'll crumble. You can't depend on things like that. It's built on sand. But if you're going to build on the rock, you're going to have to do everything you do with His good pleasure in mind, pleasing Him, and that's faith. So let's go over to Luke 17. Anytime a chapter starts like this one does, then He said to His disciples, you have to go back and see what He said before that. Then, the word then almost, it almost demands that you go back and see what the then is there for. So I did. And this is in chapter 16 of Luke. This is where the rich man had done Lazarus very badly. Now, not the Lazarus that was Jesus' friend, but another one. He was a poor man. He was a beggar. And the rich man would have nothing to do with him, even though he sat outside his gate. Well, the rich man died, and so did Lazarus. Lazarus, the Scripture says, was carried to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man, Jesus said, this was his story, he was telling it, he said that the rich man went to hell. So the rich man wanted Abraham, he could see him up, you know, over afar off, and he said, I want you to send Lazarus back to get me some water. So he was used to people doing something for him, giving orders, saying things. you know, hand me this, get me that, do this, do that. But Abraham told him, no, there's a gulf between you and I, and we can't cross that gulf. God did that. And so then he said, well, I want you to send somebody back from the dead and preach to my brothers, and they'll repent. And here's what Abraham said to him. He said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. You see, a lot of times we prefer the grandiose. Seeing somebody that was declared dead coming back to life to say something to you. Well, after a while, that won't mean anything to you. Because that's not within the operational powers of faith. Had it been, it might have happened. But he said, no, you have to hear Moses and the prophets. And if you won't hear them, you're not going to hear anything else either. So the same goes for us. A lot of times we want the grandiose, the glory balls bouncing off the walls and things just happening and going. But that don't always happen. But this always does happen. This will give you the operational pattern of what God wants and expects from us, whether there's any glory balls bouncing off the walls or not. But you see, this is where it might be good for some people to have glory balls, but this is where you're going to have to settle down and live, right here. Right here with this. So, then he said to his disciples, he had given this, I mean, when you look at chapter 16 and even part of 15 or in 14 too, it's all red. It's all in red. So he was just talking a great deal, trying to teach them some things, bring them to some understanding. And then he said to them, it is impossible. It is impossible except that offenses will come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than to offend one of the little ones. Take heed to yourselves, he said. Take heed that no one offends you or causes you to sin. You look this up in the Amplified Bible. It says to stumble through sin, to be tricked into sin, trapped. Now listen, offenses are going to come. People are going to offend you. But however you receive that, however you receive what they're trying to dish out, is what the outcome of the thing is. You see, offenses don't get the power that they're given if we don't fall for them. There has to be agreement in offense. I offend, you receive. I offend, you don't receive, there's no offense.
Amen. That's good.
If I don't, if you offend and I don't receive it, there's no offense. You might go around bragging that you just told me what was for, but if I don't receive the offense from you, there's no offense. If I don't cause your actions to cause me to sin, and you know, other people's actions can cause you to sin. You create sin in each other. Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, take heed, watch out. Don't let this happen. If your brother sins against you, he said, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turns to you, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And don't forget to do that. Mm-hmm. And if you see that the twitching on someone's face, you just tried to offend them. And you should repent over it. You should repent to them. Remember, it's not God's snowball. It wasn't God you tried to offend. It was me. So it is me that you owe the apology. Yeah. Now, it says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Then the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Which of you, having a servant plowing or herding sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come now and sit down for dinner? Will he not rather say to him, prepare my supper and dress yourself and serve me until I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? I think not. So you also, when you have done everything commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done our duty. Using faith is our duty. Using the operational powers of faith is our duty. If we're going to please our master, and it's up to the servant to please his master. So we're not going to keep the devil guessing whose master we're serving. We're serving the Lord General of the church, the Lord God Almighty, and Jesus, his Son. We're serving him. That's our declaration. So the devil needs to come around and guess what side we're on. He can know what side we're on. Okay. Here's what he was saying about the mustard seed. After you forgive. See, the rich man wanted his servant, his brothers, to know what it's going to take for you to stay out of this place. But Abraham said, if it's all written down, if they won't receive it written down in Moses and the prophets, then they're not going to receive it. Now listen, he was saying about the mustard seed that there's impossibilities in life. Impossibilities, things that just are impossible. It is impossible to live here without offenses. It's impossible to live here without things going in another direction than you thought it was going to go in this direction. This is the direction you prefer, but this is the direction it's taking. So now, people are supposed to behave this way, but now they're behaving that way. And Jesus said, you're just seeing what is going to happen. It's impossible to live on this planet and not have things happen to you. Oh, my goodness. He was saying this. In that tiny little mustard seed that you can barely see, if you just choose one mustard seed out of a pack, you got to do your finger like this and try to pick it up, or else you can't. You can't. It's so small, you can't do this. You have to do this and look at it. And he's saying within that mustard seed of faith, listen, within that mustard seed of faith, everything you hope for is there. In the size of the mustard seed, barely able to see it, there's everything you hope for. In the mustard seed itself, Jesus said in another place that there is enough in that mustard seed to grow a tree. Out of that tiny little mustard seed, that if you have problems seeing, you won't be able to see it. There is a tree. Jesus said the mustard seed planted will grow into a great tree, and the fowls of the air will lodge therein. Well, I didn't know mustard seeds could grow great trees. Well, they can, because he said they can. Uh-huh. Isn't that something? They'll grow in that mustard seed itself is a great tree that birds or fowls of the air can lodge in. He said to me that everything that you could ever hope for is in the size of that faith. If your faith is just as large as a mustard seed, everything you ever hope for, everything you could pray for, everything that you would ever believe for is in that size of faith. And yet, we don't know how to use it. Well, what do I say? Well, how do I do? Well, you know, you have to do what he wants you to do. You have to do first things first. You have to do his word. You have to commit to his word. Everything you ever could hope for is in the size of faith, being the size of a grain of mustard seed. Well, I thought I had faith bigger than a mustard seed, and I still haven't got what I wanted. Well, then I would go back to the beginning and see where I got off the rails. That's the only thing you can do. Well, I don't want to go off. You remember the game Sorry that you used to play, and you throwed the little things and you moved a number according to the things? And then if somebody landed on you, you had to go all the way back, and they would say, sorry, go all the way back. We don't want to go all the way back. We don't want to go all the way back. But sometimes you need to go back and see where you've missed the correction. And from that place, you have to go forward. And there's a lot of times we've got to repent. There's a lot of times we have to repent. There is repentance that is needed. He was saying this in the end of the 16th chapter, in the beginning of the 17th chapter, he was saying this, that after forgiveness, whatever you use your faith for will come to pass. You can't get down. You can't get down to faith being your servant. Oh my Lord! Until you have done verse 1. You can't get down to where faith is like a servant. You don't call the servant in from working and tell him to sit down and eat. Who's going to serve him? You? Well, if he's your servant, you should be sitting down to eat. And then he can sit down. But you see, the thing is, you can't get to where faith becomes your servant until there is forgiveness that is done. Oh, my goodness. You see, he wants to correct us in things so that the operational pattern of faith can be known in our spirit, so that every time we come up against something, we know that we have enough faith required to take care of this. Amen. Because since I've started, I've stayed repentant. I've stayed repentant. Now, there's some things that I trust myself in, and then there's some things that I don't trust myself in. There's some things that I'm apt to react to it. And if I do, it's going to require repentance before your operational package of faith is going to do what it's designed to do. And that's produced anything that is hoped for. Faith will produce anything that's hoped for. Say to the mountain, if you say to this mountain, if your faith is working, if you have this operational power, you can say in Mark 11, you can say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and it should obey you. It should obey you. It should obey you. But you see, we haven't controlled what we say yet. Because we want our opinion to be said. We want our opinion to be known. We want our ideas to be heard. We won't. And none of that will fit in the pattern of faith. See, this is what fits in the pattern of faith. This is what comes. Faith causes whatever you hope for to be established. It's just established. Because, number one, you're not under offense. You haven't offended anybody. And you stay repentant. Then whatever you say to that mountain, it's going to be removed. But here's what he said to them before he said that. When you pray, when you stand praying, forgive. In that same chapter, Mark 11, in this, says the same thing. Forgive. Don't allow offenses to overcome you. When you stand praying, forgive. Don't expect that mountain to move out of your way if you are unforgiving of something that has been said or done to you. Do you know what? In the first place, that takes too much energy. Takes too much energy to hold on to those things. Takes too much energy to allow things to offend you. That takes up a lot of energy. That makes you burn. When you get offended, you burn real hot. Your face gets red. Your face gets red, your neck catches on fire. When you get offended by things, you start slamming doors, shutting cabinet doors. Cabinet doors never got shut by you since you've had a cabinet. But suddenly, when you're offended, you slam every cabinet door. Just so people can know, I don't like what you did. Oh, my goodness. There is such an energy in the small seed of a mustard plant seed that it grows a tree. And there's such energy in the operation of faith on the inside of us that it takes it and begins to form it and bring it to pass before you even get finished praying. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was somebody that would not yield to God. He wouldn't yield to God. He would not hear anything God had to say. And God warned him over and over several times. The last time he warned him, bad things are going to happen to you, Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to be driven mad. And you'll eat with the animals. He was told that. Well, 1 year later, to the very day, he was driven completely mad and out of his mind. The scripture says that the hairs on his body grew to such a mass until it looked like eagle's feathers growing all over him, and that he had his fingers became like talons of birds, big old talons, and he ate grass with the oxen on all fours. until faith brought him back. Well, how could Nebuchadnezzar have faith? Well, he knew about it. And he knew where to get it. So the scripture says that he looked up. He looked up. And when he looked up, he was made whole. He was made normal. The feathers left. The talons receded. He became man again. And he said, there is no other God but the God of heaven. There is no other Lord but the Lord God, the Creator. And I bow to him. Now you see, he didn't leave any more room for the devil to wonder. That's it. Wonder if he'll yield to me today. Wonder if they'll, you know, do what I suggest to them today. No. No, we won't. Because we know that within this servant of faith is given to us that will bring to pass and establish everything we hope for. Amen. It will be the substance of the things that we can't even see.
Amen.
The substance of things hoped for. In other words, everything we hope for will be something that he can establish.
Right.
Everything that we hope for, will that be that he can agree with and that will please him? Oh my Lord, how wonderful is that? Listen, you want this kind of faith. You don't want to be stubborn. You want to be able to use this kind of faith so that as you're going, you pray. As you're going, you forgive. As you're going, you repent. And then whatever you say from there will come and be established. Oh my God. Everything I hope for then is in that measure of faith.
You have been watching Words of Light for Today with Linda Atkins. For prayer or a free CD of today's message, please call 904-289-9727. Visit our website at wordsoflight.org, where you may order explosive and anointed teaching messages or other great resources from our bookstore. Be blessed and join Linda Atkins next time as she brings Words of Light for Today.